It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Marama is actually away today, but we have got Te Anau Tuiono on the line. Morena, how are you?
Morena.
It's nice to speak with you. I think this is our first chat we've had with you on breakfast, so it's great to have you on the show. But we've got some big ones that the Greens have been getting stuck into over the last wee while. And I think we should start with the People's Inquiry into Student Wellbeing, because this has been quite a remarkable bit of research that's come out that the Green Party has been supporting. And this is looking at, I guess, the state of it for students at the moment. And it's pretty bleak out there. We're seeing 54% of student income being put towards rent. A lot of the people who were surveyed, two-thirds, didn't have enough money regularly for food, clothing, to pay bills, get healthcare and other basic things. And the list kind of goes on. Is the stuff we've seen out of this shocking at all to you, or is it something that now we just got some quantifiable sort of ways of looking at it?
Well, it is shocking. I mean, I went to uni in Auckland, and, you know, I thought I had it tough back there in the 90s, but it just sounds like things have gotten worse. Well, things have gotten worse as well. And so it was good. The good thing with the inquiry is actually have all those numbers out there and to have it kind of, you know, brought into the daylight. Say, like, this is the impact this is having on students.
Mm.
And I think of it as, you know, as a parent as well. My oldest kid's been going through university, and the next lot will probably go through as well. So I'm just wondering what this means for them.
With this report, what is the Green Party hoping it might help with? Because the conversation about, you know, expensive rent and the price of food isn't new necessarily. So what are we hoping this might, you know, help change?
It isn't new, but we do need to actually keep banging on the drum. You know, we've been pushing for a very, very long time for all the different solutions to really stop the wealth from, you know, heading into the pockets of the rich and the wealthy. And we need to really use those big levers to do that. So we've advocated for, you know, wealth tax, capital gains tax, those sorts of things to make sure that we have livable incomes for everybody. So if you've got a job, it's a living wage. But if for some reason, whatever, you don't have a job, you still have a livable income. Those things are really important. And we really need to move those big economic levers to make sure that that happens.
One of the things that's quite striking from the findings is three-quarters of the participants surveyed were uncomfortable with raising concerns with their landlord or with the tenancy tribunal for fear of rent increases or being forced out. Now, this is something that I guess we've known has been an issue with the way our tenancy support services have been set up for some time. Is this going to be a conversation we hope to see change on in the near future? Because it's, you know, it's been brought up before. We have seen some changes to tenancy legislation in the last year, but where are we going to get to where there's some proper supports for renters out there?
We do need to double down on all this stuff. Just because we've said it before and it hasn't landed doesn't mean that we shouldn't say it again and we shouldn't say it louder. So I think we definitely need to do that. There's just such a massive power imbalance between tenants and landlords, and, you know, getting folks on the other side of the house to actually recognise that and then actually push some of those levers to make sure that we balance that up is really important, and to make sure that the majority of people's money isn't just getting wasted on their rent.
In your opinion, across the House, what's the response to this been like? Because obviously this has been backed by the Greens, but what are we seeing from other political parties about this survey?
Well, on the right, it's as usual. I am interested in what Labor's going to do, right? Because they're supposed to be the party of the working class, so on and so forth. So I think there's definitely pressure there. They've got the majority of seats in the House. They've got the majority of the votes. So I don't know what the excuse is there as well. So hopefully this puts pressure on them to actually move those big levers. Let's talk about all of those things to make sure that we get those livable incomes, living wages, making sure that we all have healthy, warm homes to live in, and it's not going to lead people into poverty.
Mm. Well, let's talk about another ongoing situation that's been happening for some time now. This is the fire and emergency New Zealand sort of, I guess, internal crisis that's been happening of conditions and pay and ongoing frustration from that sector. You have been calling for an independent review into fire and emergency. What specifically are you hoping to see from something like that?
Well, we need to see an improvement of pay and conditions for firefighters. I visited the local fire station here in Palmerston North, and you know, I was shocked with the stories that I heard, just the impact on, you know, mental health and well-being. You know, because often the firefighters are the first responders onto particular on scene disaster. They don't have that adequate mental support, let alone the money. So if you step into the firefighting as a career path, you know, you start on about $45,000 to $46,000. If you're the main breadwinner for a young family, how are you going to live in Auckland on that?
Mm.
And then all the lot of the trucks are degrading as well, so the equipment is not fit for purpose. So I was in the fire station, and they had an air compressor going on one of the fire engines because one of the hoses at the back of it was broken. So in order for that truck to be emergency ready, they had to have this thing going on all the time, push the button every couple of minutes to make sure that if there was an emergency, they could get out the door quick enough. So it's pretty poor.
This has been, I guess, a bit of a slow boil, I would say, this concern and frustration from Fire and Emergency New Zealand. We've seen, I guess, more media attention perhaps in the last few months on it, as we've seen, you know, I guess, stronger action from those workers themselves. But again, what are we hearing from Fire and Emergency management about this, because it seems to be a very sort of stalemate type of a situation at the moment?
Yeah, there is. It does feel that way. I mean, it came on our radar when we started getting a lot of emails, because they're in the negotiations and talking behind the scenes and so on and so forth. But I think it's really important that they get around the table and get some solutions sorted as well, because the job they do is so important. They need to be able to get to these events as quick as possible, and if they don't have the capacity to do that for whatever reason, then it needs to be sorted out, which is why we need this independent review. We need to put some stuff in place. Out here in Palmerston, they support, they'll sometimes have to support some of the rural volunteer firefighters as well. Mm-hmm. I live out in the rural area as well, so mm-hmm. Wasn't too sure about what the setup was, and I had a chat with these guys, because sometimes the alarm goes off and maybe they don't get enough volunteers at times because folks are busy. The guys from the city will have to head towards the fire, and you know, maybe they'll get there and maybe they won't.
Yeah.
So things are in real disarray at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, this is going to be an interesting one to follow, but I did want to touch base with the Green Party annual conference, which was set to be happening this weekend. I see it's now been removed from being a face-to-face event. That's obviously because of COVID concerns. What is going to be happening with the annual conference now?
It's going to be online now. So we're just trying to figure out. I'm just trying to figure out where I was going to be. So I was supposed to be at Christchurch. But we've had AGMs online as well. It's not the same as being in person. But, I mean, we are in really uncertain times, and the case numbers are rising, and, you know, there's uncertainty around this new variant as well, and we're still having people die from COVID, and we still have hospitalizations. So erring on the side of caution is the right thing to do.
There has been some mention that there could be a challenge for the leadership, or perhaps a vote forced by the youth arm of the Green Party. This is particularly around James Shaw's co-leadership role here. This is not the first time that this has come through. Last year, there was also a similar challenge. What is going on to lead to this type of ongoing concern?
It's up to the members, like all of us, all of the MPs in Parliament. We're there because the members put us there. So the members go through their process, and it's an important part of our internal democracy, if I can put it that way, that we are put through our paces, and that they see that they determine and give us the direction on how they want us to do our MP jobs and so on and so forth. So, you know, these things are not new. And so, like, I'm like everyone else, it's sort of to see where the discussion is going to go to on the weekend.
OK, Okay, well, we'll come back to that one for sure. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Te Anu Tui Ono. It's been great to have you on the show. I hope that the weekend goes well, and we'll talk to you maybe in the future.
Bye-bye. Kakite.
Kia ora.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson. Actually,